You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 22nd of December, 2025, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, later on in the week, I am hoping to still put out a Daily Nationalist. Over the Christmas period, we have an episode from Dr. Johnson talking about his new book. We have an episode with Grandpa Dan talking about anime, and we also have an episode from Euro talking about Deep Space Nine, so we have some different subject matter for you coming up later in the week. But for the start of the week, I think we are going to continue with the news articles. And the one that I have here today, I'm really quite surprised at this, that I'm surprised that I hadn't actually heard of this before. I think I might have heard the term, but I thought that it was just a phrase. I didn't realise it was an actual policy. The headline that I've got here says, Diversity Visa Lottery imports nearly 500,000 migrants to United States every decade. And this comes from Breitbart. And we know that our governments are open to migration and they encourage migration. But I didn't realise that they actually had a lottery which they just give out visas to people from other countries, not for getting a job, not because they're qualified, not because we need people with their skill set, but simply just to increase the number of non-whites in America. That's literally what it is. It even calls it a diversity lottery. And what is diversity? Well, diversity is replacing whites with non-whites. So that's specifically what this visa is for. The Diversity Visa Lottery, created by the Immigration Act of 1990, imports nearly 500,000 migrants to the United States every decade for no other reason than to add so-called diversity to the American population. So this has been going on for 30 years. I mean, that's a huge number. 500,000 migrants every decade. I know it's not as much as Boris Johnson, who imported 1 million migrants just during 1 year. Of course, they cover that up by saying, oh, well, the net number was only 600 and something thousand, but it still means the actual number of migrants that came into the country was over 1 million. I think that was like 1.2 million. And that is an absolutely massive number. And this, if you think this has been going on for 30 years now, and the whole point of it is just to replace white people with brown people. I mean, that's all that diversity is. That's what they mean when they say diversity. They mean more brown people. And if you have more brown people, that means you have less white people. You replace the white people with the brown people. Unless people think that that is just a conspiracy theory, you can look up the United Nations Replacement Migration Policy. They have a United Nations paper on this, and it's called Replacement Migration. And it's supposedly to replace the number of European children that are not being born because our fertility rates are so low. So to replace the white babies, they import brown adults, and they call it replacement migration. And this is why we say that this is what's going on. They are replacing the indigenous population of Europe with a foreign population. And they don't hide this, but when you talk about it, they call you a conspiracy theorist for talking about replacement theory. Well, it's not a theory, is it? It's a fact. This shows you that it's a fact. This entire program was dreamt up just to improve the so-called diversity of America. On Friday, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem revealed that Portuguese national Claudio Manuel Neves Valente, accused of carrying out deadly shootings at Brown University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, arrived in the United States in 2017 after being awarded a diversity visa. So he was given this wonderful award, the chance to move to America. And they don't just give them a visa, they actually give them a green card. They allow them to become citizens. And how does he repay the kindness of America? Well, he carries out deadly shootings at a university and shoots students there. The diversity visa lottery gives out up to 55,000 visas every year. Of course, that's why they say every decade. It's half a million, 10 times that number. They give out up to 55,000 visas every year to foreign nationals from a multitude of countries, including those with known terrorist problems, such as Afghanistan, Algeria, Egypt, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Syria, Trinidad and Tobago, Venezuela, Yemen, and Uzbekistan. Interesting that they are saying there that Saudi Arabia has a known terrorist problem. I thought Saudi Arabia was a big ally of the United States. And I'm not so aware of there being terrorism that originates from Venezuela. I think this idea that terrorism originates from Venezuela is probably about as truthful as this idea that all the drug smugglers are coming in from Venezuela, bringing their drugs in on fishing boats. It just seems to me that this is a ruse in order to gain support for attacking Venezuela, because they don't have a compliant regime over there. Maduro is not a subordinate to the United States. That's the reason why we're being told that Venezuela is the head of the drug smuggling and the head of the terrorism in that area, is because he's not a client state. Maduro is not a client of the United States. But these other countries here, well, yes, the terrorism does come from a lot of these countries. And it's amazing that America would still have this diversity visa going on in countries like Libya, which is a failed state. In countries like Syria. I mean, it's amazing that they have it in Libya, when the reason why Libya is now a basket case is because America bombed it back to the Stone Age, supposedly to liberate them from the dictator Gaddafi, who had given everybody a house, made sure that everybody knew how to read and write, gave newlyweds a $50,000 stipend, paid for bright students to be educated in Europe. Gaddafi did all these wonderful things for the Libyan people. And yet what we did, we sponsored Islamic terrorists to go over there. They were actually locked up in British jails, and we sent some of them over there back to Libya to subvert the Libyan country and to take over from Gaddafi. It was horrendous what actually went on there. So you can understand that people in Libya would have a beef with Britain and America. I believe the Manchester bomber, he was from Libya, and his brother, and I think his brother was still out there in Libya. So they have this antagonism to Britain because of what Britain did to Libya, and the same applies to America. They're going to have an antagonism to America because what America did to their country. And yet America gives out this free award, this free diversity visa to them. Those foreign nationals awarded diversity visas are allowed to enter the United States on green cards for no other reason than to diversify the nation's population. That is just amazing to me. I know white people that are in America that have had difficulty getting a green card after living there for some years and being entirely self-dependent. It's quite difficult, in fact, for white people to get a green card. And yet America is just giving out these green cards to people from countries that are known for exporting terrorism into their country. Every decade, the diversity visa lottery imports almost 500,000 migrants to the United States. And I don't think people actually apply for this lottery either. It's not like people in Afghanistan are paying to buy a lottery ticket because they think they might be able to get to America. I think they just choose people. I don't know if you actually have to apply to be on a list or anything like that. I mean, it sounds like they just pick somebody and say, yeah, here you do. We'll pick them at random. I guess that must be the lottery aspect of it. From fiscal year 2012 through to fiscal year 2022, for instance, the Diversity Visa Lottery resettled more than 461,000 foreign nationals into American communities. Did the American communities ask for this? Did they say that they wanted diversifying? Did Detroit say that it wanted to become majority black and go bankrupt? Did Baltimore say it wanted to be majority black? Did Minnesota say that it wanted to be majority Somalian? I don't think Americans ever voted for this or ever said that they wanted to have random people from third world countries imported into their nation. And yet that is exactly what has been going on here since 1990. In addition to Valente, the lottery allowed convicted Islamic State terrorist Ruslan Mardavich Asinov into the United States in 1999, as well as Uzbek national Saifulu Saipov, who drove a truck through a crowd in New York City, killing 8 people in 2017. Now, it doesn't actually tell you about this Islamic State fellow, this Ruslan Muratovich. It doesn't tell you whether he was convicted of terrorism before they allowed him in on the visa or after they gave him the visa. Now, you've got a little link here. Let's just have a look here and we'll see what they have to say about this alleged terrorist. Alleged ISIS sniper entered US from Kazakhstan on diversity visa lottery. He was a sniper and firearms instructor. And what did he get charged with? He was charged last week in a Brooklyn, New York federal court for aiding ISIS in 2013. And he allegedly traveled to Turkey and Syria to fight for the terrorist group. This is one of the issues that we have with people that do come into our countries from other parts of the world. Their parents or the people that arrived in the 60s and the 70s, they tried to fit in with the West and they adopted Western clothes and Western language. But the second generation of the migrants identified more strongly with the parts of the world that they actually came from. And this is why you now see people wearing Afghan dress or Pakistani dress over here in Britain, whereas before they would have dressed like the British. I mean, I don't think we even used to see burqas years ago. It seems that the second generation is far more adherent to Islamic ideologies than their parents. And I know there have been studies done which show this as well. And when we look at the makeup of the people that went to join ISIS, it wasn't a lot of people from Pakistan. It was people from Europe that went out there to join them. They were the ones that were easily radicalized. The Muslims that were already in Muslim countries, they knew what ISIS would turn out to be. They didn't want to be a part of a fundamentalist Islamic group. They wanted to stay with the Islam that they have. I mean, if you look at Turkey, they have a form of Islam there where they still allow alcohol to be sold. So you have quite a liberal version of Islam that is in some of these Islamic countries. And yet in the West, where we are very permissive and we allow all sorts of things to go on, it seems to have been that helped to radicalize the Muslims in our countries to wanting to go and fight for ISIS, far from encouraging them to want to take on the democratic morals and support Western democracy. Far from that, it actually turned them against Western democracy, far more against it, say, than the people from those original countries are, quite clearly, because the ones from those original countries still wish to actually come to Europe. Following this 2017 terror attack in New York City, when this Uzbek national drove a truck through the crowd, President Donald Trump called on Democrats to join Republicans in ending the diversity visa lottery, a proposal that never got through Congress, despite a major push from Senator Tom Cotton. So it looks like Trump tried to do something about this in his first term, where he really was not very effective at all. Now, in response to the Brown University shooting, Noam said the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service, USCIS, is shutting down the diversity visa lottery for the time being. At President Trump's direction, I am immediately directing USCIS to pause the diversity visa program to ensure no more Americans are harmed by this disastrous program, Noam wrote in a statement. But all he's doing is pausing it. They're not actually stopping it, they're just pausing it, which means that it could be started up again. And this is the biggest criticism that I have of Donald Trump and his second term. His second term he is far better than he was in his first term, but so much of what he says isn't followed through with actions. Well, when he first came to be president, he was saying that any country that didn't allow freedom of speech would be sanctioned, and there would be financial economic sanctions on countries that locked their citizens up for criticizing the regime or for criticizing mass immigration. And we haven't seen that actually happen. We have seen him talk about these things, and we have seen high up members of his administration talk about these things, which is wonderful because it does draw attention to these problems that we have. But so far, there's been no actual punishment of these countries which do censor their citizens' speech, mainly in Europe. I mean, we think it's bad in Britain, but it's not nearly as bad as it is in Germany and Austria. Over there, you're not even allowed to discuss certain parts of history because you could be accused of Holocaust denial. Of course, we don't have those laws in Britain, thankfully. And I am quite encouraged by the fact that when you see politicians talking about that subject, like Anne Widdecombe, for instance, and she will say that it's quite right that we do not have laws on our books that prevent Holocaust denial. Of course, she's not a revisionist, and she's very keen to say that she doesn't support the things that Holocaust revisionists say. But the fact is that she's very proud that they can actually investigate these things and talk about these things in Britain. And it seems to be the old guard, the older politicians that understand the importance of freedom of speech and freedom of inquiry. And it's the new people that have gone through the new university system ever since they charged for university fees and charged people to go through the university system. I think ever since then, there's been this complete takeover of those institutions, a complete takeover that prevents them even being used for their original purpose, which was for the pursuit of knowledge. So you would expect to go to a university and you would expect to have your views challenged and you would expect to meet people that might think very, very differently to yourself. And rather than just refusing to listen to them or no platforming them, you would be encouraged to listen to what they say and interact with them and debate with them. Whereas nowadays, they just want to deplatform anybody that has a different point of view. So it is important that we have free speech so that we actually have a genuine democracy. Because if you're not allowed to talk about certain subjects, then how can you have genuine representation? You might be concerned about some of these subjects that you're not allowed to talk about. And if a politician starts talking about them and the politician gets put in jail, how can you say that you live in a democracy because the person has been put in jail? It's important that we have free speech so that we can point out the problems with issues like this one, like this diversity visa. So this can be talked about in America. And people can say, look at the end results of this. You've got terrorists that are coming to the country. I'm sure there's more than just these terrorists. I'm sure just the law of averages say that some of these people would have carried out horrific crimes as well as these terrorist ones. Those are just the ones that have been picked up on. And that's the worst side of it. At best, if they don't carry out any crimes at all, they will still be working and taking up positions in employment that white Americans could be filling. And that's at the best of it. And at the best of it, they're still using up resources which were intended for the white descendants of the white pioneers who founded America. We only have a limited number of resources, and the more people that you bring into the country, the less resources there will be to go around. So as far as it bringing in people from other countries are concerned, completely at random like this, there is no benefit to it whatsoever. And you might be able to say, well, if you are importing people that are highly qualified and that can do specific jobs, that perhaps you don't have enough people that can do that in your own country, then an argument could be made that it might be a good thing to import people that are capable of doing that work into the country until we have enough of our own people to do it, and then they can go back to their own country, can't they? We shouldn't be bringing people from other countries into our homelands and encouraging them to settle here and live here forevermore simply because they can get good work here. They should be encouraged if they can get work here, and if it pays more than when they're back in their own homeland, well, they should be encouraged to save up their money so that when they go back to their own homeland, they can put it into their own economy and raise their standard of living there. So perhaps if they were just a medium class before, perhaps they can go back being upper class with the amount of money that they could earn in the West. But they shouldn't be encouraged to live in the West and settle in the West, certainly not refugees. The idea of refugees just moving to another country and living there, that's unheard of. You know, a refugee is supposed to move away from the area where the trouble is until the trouble ends, and then they're supposed to go back. This is why this whole idea that the people that are coming over from France are refugees is ridiculous, because they're still coming over saying, claiming to be from Syria, and Syria is no longer in the hands of Bashar al-Assad. Getting back to this article here, requirements for foreign nationals to win the visa lottery are low, with the foreign national only needing a high school degree and 2 years of work experience. And I wonder what a high school degree would actually give you in places like Africa. I dare say you have people over there with high school degrees that can barely read and write, because we know in a lot of these countries you can just purchase degrees and you can purchase qualifications, and they don't actually reflect how much experience and how skilled a person is actually in that discipline. Despite the weak prerequisites needed to obtain the visa, foreign nationals can later obtain green cards to permanently stay in the US, and after living in the country for 5 years, can become American citizens and begin bringing their extended relatives into the country, a system known as chain migration. And we even have something similar to this in Britain, when they give out visas to students to come from the third world, and they come to Britain ostensibly to study at university, they're allowed to bring their relatives with them. And you get you don't just get a visa for one student, you get a half a dozen visas so that he can bring his entire family over with him. And if you look at European students, they go to university to get away from their family. If you look at foreign students, for some strange reason, they have to bring all their family with them when they go to university. And I'm actually taking these second quotes here from this other article about this terrorist that also was given a visa. The alleged ISIS sniper is just the latest foreign national that has successfully entered the country through the legal immigration system, and specifically the visa lottery. In 2017, Uzbek national Saifullo Saipov allegedly murdered 8 people after mowing them down with his car in the Tribia neighborhood in New York City. And Saipov, just like Asinov, came to the US through the visa lottery in 2010 before the federal government then granted him a green card to permanently stay in the country. It seems whether people come in illegally or whether they come in illegally, there is always going to be a chance that they could be terrorists. There's also always a chance that they could be rapists. In fact, there's more of a chance of them being rapists if they come from certain countries. We know that if you come from Afghanistan, you are 22 times more likely to rape than if you're British. If you come from Eritrea, again, it's about 22 times more likely to rape than when you're British. So whether they've come in legally or illegally, if they come from certain countries, then you are putting the indigenous people at an increased risk by having them here. And when people talk about this and when people complain about this and protest about it and say, we don't want one of these migrant hotels in our town because we're concerned about our daughters, they then get accused of being racists by the mainstream media, and Hope Not Hate will turn up with their Antifa hordes, and they'll all be shouting, refugees are welcome here, even though they don't actually live in the area. Well, since 2005, more than 500,000 foreign nationals have come to the US by randomly winning the visa lottery, bringing with them a chain migration of 5 million more foreign nationals since 1994. So you bring in 500,000 on this visa scheme, and they then bring in another 5 million. So that's actually 10 times as many. So if you think, if Britain gives out these visas as well for students, and they give out one student visa, by looking at these figures here, that one visa will be used to bring in 10 people from the third world. This is the reason why we have the immigration problem that we have, is because we're just inviting masses of these people over here. They might talk tough and say they want to stop migration, they want to put a stop to the boats. The fact is, they're not doing anything about it, are they? If they're just allowing people to come over here in such huge numbers and saying that they can bring all their family as well, if you're a student. I mean, this is in America that this is happening. And we're not even talking about students here. We're just talking about people that have randomly won a lottery, won the great lottery of life. You can move to America. I mean, there are white people who have problems getting into America that would not be likely to carry out terrorism. Over the last half decade, between 2012 and 2016, 72,794 foreign nationals have come to the US on the visa lottery from countries that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency has designated as terrorist sponsors. 72,000 from countries that produce terrorists, and America just keeps importing them in. In 2016 alone, more than 15,600 foreign nationals entered the US from terrorist-sponsored countries through the visa lottery. Those countries included Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Somalia, Syria, Sudan, and Algeria. And I do wonder, now that Trump has said he's going to put a stop to immigration from Somalia, is he also going to stop this diversity lottery applying to Somalia? They did tell us earlier that they have paused it, but they haven't actually stopped the whole thing. They should really just stop the whole thing. I mean, it's a horrendous thing, isn't it, with the title, a diversity lottery, and the whole purpose of it was to, quote unquote, improve diversity in America. So the whole purpose of it was just for the purpose of replacing white people. Those are the sort of people that we have in our government. They just seek to replace us, and they tell us that it's a wonderful thing when they do, and that we must celebrate it, and that it's actually a great strength to us to have all our own people replaced. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.